I'll be reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among witnesses, commit these to faithful men who you will be able to teach to others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Good morning. Great day for ducks, amen? Nobody thought that was funny? I'm sorry. Great day for ducks, amen? We're awake and we're here today. Good to see you, and I'm thankful for the presence of you here today. You know, I find it interesting that similar things happen in other things that I participate in. For instance, when I go to the gym early in the morning, and when it's raining like this, I got the whole place to myself, me and just one or couple other guys. But when it's weather's nice and it's not, oh, you can't get in there. Everybody's rubbing elbow to elbow. And here's something interesting about that. I made a friend there. His name is Robert. Robert is a really neat guy. He stands somewhere probably 6'8" or so, about Brother Bernard's height, and with the same hairstyle, by the way, if you know what I mean. And there's something that caught my attention about him. I knew very quickly that he was a person who had some military influence. I could tell by the way he squared away his gear. He took things, you know, because some of the things that I have learned to do neatly, I learned from being influenced by some of those guys that were in the military. I was not, and we were talking about those things, and I asked him, Robert, you stand up so straight and tall, you know, and things like that, and you do so well here in the gym. From which branch of the military, or for which branch of the military did you serve? And he said, I was in the Air Force for 28 years. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. I said, you know, and I've told you this before, I didn't go in the military because I was afraid of basic training, which Josh has been through. But when I was dragging a fire hose through a forest fire in July, loaded with water, I thought maybe I could have survived, you know. But the thing was, he said, well, you know, Jeff, the military's not for everybody. You can get yourself hurt, you can get yourself killed if you can't follow orders. And I said, you know, there's something very similar to that in firefighting. If you can't follow orders, if you can't listen to those who are directing you, you can get yourself hurt, you can even get yourself killed. And I began to think about that when it came to those things that we're considering today as we look at these things. You see, as God's people, if we can't follow the orders that God's given us in here, we are going to, it's not a matter of if, we are going to get hurt, and we could even lose our souls over that. Think about that with me for a moment. You see, it's really important for us to keep these things in mind as we move forward. You see, I remember going to a fire scene, and though I had been trained and told dozens and dozens of times, when you go in a burning building, you always get on your hands and knees, and you crawl. You crawl. I'd been told that so many times, it wasn't even funny. And I had told other people the same thing. We'd get to a door, and I'd say, hit your knees. Before we go in, you'll get hurt. Might even get killed, and I don't want to get stuck in there having to drag you out. Well, truth is, I've been standing at the door before and had somebody hit me in my back to knock me down to make sure I got on my hands and knees. Oh, it didn't feel good. No, not at all. But I endured that slam from my partner that put me on the ground. You know why? He was looking out for my best. He was protecting me. You see, we learned that in the fire service, much like you do in the military, and a large majority of those who serve in those areas have got military experience. You look out for one another. You go out on the scene and you count people constantly. You're always looking to make sure everybody's accounted for. As God's people, shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we be looking out for one another? Shouldn't we be enduring with one another? Helping each other as we make our way to that place called heaven? You see, we find in our text today an order that's a pretty tall one, although we always nod our head. It's a fundamental one, and yes, we need to remind each other of this time and time again. In verse 3, it says, "You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You must endure hardship. Now, that old devil is going to point at times when you were overflowing with blessings, and he's going to say, see there, that's when God loved you. Now, we don't know what made him change his mind, but when you're having trouble, that old devil is going to lie, and he's going to say, see, that God you trusted, he's left you now. Don't fall for that lie. That is not true. But that's what he's going to whisper in your ear, because he wants to encourage that separation from God. And when we have those dark and cloudy and rainy days, it's so easy to fall into that trap. And yet sometimes, like a kid that's walking in the dark, I hear you, boogeyman, but I'm not afraid. But we are. We are. And we let the power of God leave our lives, and we allow the spirit of fear to come within. And we've done it sometimes even unaware. But rest assured, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, there are two very subtle things that lead us to a spirit of fear, and so much so that are so very subtle that sometimes we will even find ourselves in that position not realizing it, and even denying that we are afraid. One is a disbelief in God's word that people can be converted, that people can change. God's word said so. That means it is so. Amen? But yet sometimes we'll hold on to the devil's excuse in the back of our mind so that when somebody stumbles, we can have the right not to pick them up. I knew that was going to happen. How would you like to go into a fire with a partner that would say that about you when you fail? We sin when we do things like that. We find ourselves rejoicing in things that are evil, which is exactly the opposite of love that we read in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6. You know, another is a distrust in God's word, that I really am broken and it is my sin that's keeping me away from God. Truth is, it's not everybody else's sin that stands between me and God. It's mine. On one level, we can openly admit that we're broken and we need salvation, but somewhere inside, we say to ourselves that our sin's not as bad as everybody else's. Huh. And then we justify things within ourselves. Things like, I'm going to lock down because I was hurt one time. I was overlooked or I was offended. Fear of being hurt, overlooked, and offended can hide in the background, much like Cain's anger that we read of in Genesis 4, beginning at verse 6. There we read these words, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance, why are you pouting? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desires for you. But you God said, should rule over it. If Cain had been a good soldier of God and ruled over his hurt that God did not accept his good effort, instead of following what God had told him to do, hurt that his sacrifice was being overlooked because it was unacceptable, being offended because Abel had done what was acceptable and he was right before God, if Cain had ruled over his sin, he would never have killed Abel nor been hurt himself. He made life harder than it had to be, didn't he? But so do we sometimes, because we're not exercising the Spirit of God, power, love, and sound minds. I hope you want to go to heaven. I sure do. If you do, that means endurance is a tall order. It's going to be a tall order indeed. It means, by definition, the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way, according to Webster. That difficult process is learning to love others the way that God loves us, even when we're unlovable. The strength of God's love just makes me amazed sometimes because of what He is willing to do for us. Especially when I look at myself honestly. You know, God doesn't need me. But yet He still loves me. And He loves you too. I read somewhere a very deep philosophical statement concerning this strength, referring to enduring love. Is not always revealed in a dramatic, sudden display, but at times is demonstrated with determined endurance, day and day and day again. Enduring means that I'm going to be willing to run, if you will. Are you in R for the rules? I'm going to pay attention to the rules. When I look at this idea of enduring love, God has given us an example. You see, when we look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read these words, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering usward." Enduring. Long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, changing our ways to make Him our priority. We often sit in assemblies, we nod our head, and we say, yes, we love God, and then we walk out of this place, and everything else under the sun becomes top priority before the God above. And yet God endures us to be here again today. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, thank our God for that. He who believes in Him, verse 18 of John 3, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We go back to our text and look at the very first two verses there, 1 Timothy 2. And here we read, "You, therefore, my son," now watch this, he says, "be strong." Is that enduring? Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. "And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and who will be able to teach them to others also. Take these faithful words and give them to others who will carry them forth as well. And he gives us an example down in verse 5. He says, by the way, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Huh. He's following the orders. We know, we've seen it, right? The things on TV where somebody ran across the field and cheated, or somebody took a shortcut through the woods, you know. But we know that the runner who cheats is not only disqualified, but disgraced. And when I think about that, those who would do such things put them in great positions of hurt. And I'm reminded of what Robert had to say. If you can't follow orders, you're going to get hurt and likely get killed. But you say, no, I see people running outside the lines all the time. I see them doing this all the time. I'm not talking about everybody else today, because we rarely see it in ourselves. You know, Jesus endured a great deal at the hand of the Pharisees. He was constantly being challenged by people who were far less qualified. And when Jesus was at, when Jesus encouraged them to keep the rules, if you will, one of the lawyers stepped up and he said, well, tell me what's the most important one then. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. I find some interesting things there, because when the Pharisees had heard that the Sadducees were put to silence, basically Jesus shut them down. They gathered together and they were going to show those Sadducees how it's done. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, came to him with a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You remember last week I made some folks giggle when I said, if we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, I see a lot of people must not love themselves very much. The order is love God. Love my neighbor. Well, that's nice to say, Jeff, but you don't understand. My neighbor's trouble. My neighbor is trouble. Jesus, what do you have to say about that? But I say unto you, he said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Matthew chapter 5. If I'm going to do that, this is going to take some practice. This is going to take some work. This is going to take some real understanding about what is intended here that I should be doing. This is a tall order. This loving one another is not something that I can just choose to if I would like. I mean, I have done those things. Maybe I have done those things to become a Christian and I show up upon occasion. But this tall order about loving one another is not something I have the right to choose. And when I walk away from God. I need to understand what that means. I need to know what it looks like. You know, I've always been fascinated with the martial arts. Do you know that? I've always loved that. I used to love to watch Caleb. He would train for hours and they would do those and then they would do all those protective moves, and you know they could learn to flip one another and do all those kinds of things with those weapons. You know, they were just fascinating. It was fascinating. They trained and they trained and they trained to do those things. But one of the principles that I really enjoyed about that was that they would teach that the physical ability to overpower and disable another is not about domination. It's about defense for the establishment of peace. Did you get that? It's not about domination, but about defense for the establishment of peace. The idea is to never be the aggressor. Think of what Paul wrote to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2 when we go a little further down to verse 7. He said, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. What are the all things? Well, you've heard it said before, keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? So I need to keep the main thing the main thing, which according to what I have already read means that I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. Now, in order to do that, I need to endure the challenges of this life, and that means I need to endure looking at myself in the mirror and understanding and identifying my shortcomings and honestly, without excuse, work on them. Those problems like anger, jealousy, prejudice, fear, selfishness. You see, I work on these things so I can demonstrate my love for the one who loved me first, for 1 John 4, verse 19. Following his order requires my willingness to endure. And you know, in the sense of endurance, I hear this idea of never, ever, ever giving up. Going back to the basics time and time again. We go back to our text and we look at verse 4. And we read these words. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the... Whoa, watch this. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in what? The affairs of this life. Why? Why would I not do that? Because my desire is to please him who enlisted me as a soldier. The children of Israel give us a great example, and I believe that there is no accident at all for those things that were written aforetime to tell us not only about the God that we should come to know, but also about the behavior of people. And I remember again Caleb saying, you know, the children of Israel, they just complain all the time when he was a kid. They just complain all the time. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? I'll tell you why. They were caught up in the affairs of this world. Now, Jeff, they didn't have electricity. Well, no, but you know what? They had a lot of affairs of this life, those things that led them to fear, and fear led them to anger. It appears that they saw themselves as political refugees moving out of Egypt because of some few men who were chasing an empty promise. That was the way that they looked at it. Oh, they were along for the ride, but they were not really involved in the program because they would not believe. They complained. They frustrated. They aggravated God all the way to the border of Canaan. Then in Numbers 13, we see wailing and fearful voices that were defeated before they had ever even gone into battle. The children of Israel did not believe God. And that's why they cried out in fear. And they lost their place in the promised land. They gave up before they had a chance to work God's plan. Now, I said all that to say this. God's given you and me some very serious orders here. Some commands, some rules, some orders, however you want to put it. God has told us to love him first. Nothing else before him. And this is what it looks like. Not family. Not a job, not jobs, plural, not positions of authority. Nothing except God above should be in first place. Amen? Amen. Now, if I love God, I want to be in heaven with him. Do you believe that the promised land called heaven is waiting for you? Jesus said he went to prepare a place for us in that promised land called heaven, according to John 14. And everything that I see within the pages of God's word, he's kept every promise he has made, save the second coming. Jesus died on that cross at Calvary to build a bridge of salvation for you and I. And I find it fascinating. Once upon a time, I read that to be a bridge is to be expected to be walked on. Folks, our Savior endured a lot of walking. If I would do as he asks, then I'm going to follow him all the way. Crossing that bridge in every step, repenting of sin. As we read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Changing my heart and putting God in first place. Confessing the name of Jesus, as we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 32. Having our sins washed away, as we read in Acts 22 and verse 16. But I find encouragement in Hebrews chapter 13. There we read, down at verse 5. That God will never forsake us. So if I'm distant from God, whose fault is it? Mine. Verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These things help me to know that I can't obey the rules that God has placed before me. I can't understand what he would have me to do. And I can never give up if I desire to. If I choose to put him first and follow him first, these are things that I can do because we read that he's promised a crown of life to those who will overcome. You know, today we have gathered, if you will, on the field. It's possible today that you are on the right track, and God bless you for that. But as we sing the invitation song, I'm going to ask you to pray again, because there are those among us who are not. They need our prayer. They need our encouragement. Maybe today, you look around the field and you see all the other runners, you would say to yourself, I too want to run with the family of God. Now, the reason why I ask for those who are on the right track to pray again is because of this. Before the invitation song, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand and pray with me for just a moment. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy merciful and mighty name. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come with hearts of thanksgiving in that, oh, you have blessed us in so many ways. But Father, this morning we pray that you would bestow courage upon those who find themselves distanced from you for whatever reason it might be. Father, we pray this morning that if it be your will, that you would strengthen them that they might come to you. Father, as your people, give us the strength and the courage to help those who find themselves distanced from you. For Father, of all the things that we do in this life, the most important thing that we do is to be right with you. Hold us in your hand, Father. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.